Hi, this study is entitled Lying to the Holy Spirit. And let me ask you the following 8 questions for your consideration. Number 1, what are the 6 sins against the Holy Spirit? Number 2, what 2 sins can no longer be committed against the Holy Spirit? Number 3, what nationality were Adam and Eve? Number 4, how did Ananias and Sapphira lie to the Holy Spirit? Number 5, according to Acts 5, verse 9, what were Ananias and Sapphira trying to test? Number 6, who was swallowed up by the earth? Number 7, who did I shake hands with on September 27, 2001? And number 8, who has authority to authorize things done in the church today? Okay, this subject, lying to the Holy Spirit, is actually a sin which cannot be committed today. And having said this, I would advise you not to get too comfortable because there's plenty of other sins to worry about, just not this one particular sin. There are some things that you don't mess around with because they don't give you a second chance. For example, radiation and electricity and explosives. You don't mess around with those things too much because you may not get a second chance. Jim Croce wrote a song about a tough gangster named Big Jim Brown. And in the chorus of that song, it says, you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull the mask off the old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim. You see, Jim was such a terrible gangster. You just don't mess around with him because if you do, you may not get a second chance. Well, the Holy Spirit is like this. You can't mess around with him very much and get away with it. You may not get a second chance. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 32, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. The Bible describes 6 sins that can be committed against the Holy Spirit. Blaspheming the Spirit. Number 2, lying to the Spirit. Number 3, resisting the Spirit. Number 4, grieving the Spirit. Number 5, quenching the Spirit. Number 6, insulting the Spirit. Now, 2 of these sins appear to be sins which can no longer be committed today, and that's blaspheming the Spirit and lying to the Spirit. In this study, I'm going to focus on lying to the Holy Spirit. You can read about lying to the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 5, but I want to back up to Acts chapter 4 to get some background. In chapter 4, verse 34 and 35, nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. Now first, was this communism? A lot of our Russian brethren always would ask me this question. Is this teaching Christian communism? This sort of reminds me of the Russian school teacher who asked her class, who were the first 2 humans ever? A student raised his hand, Adam and Eve. Yes, Adam and Eve. And the teacher said, and what nationality were they? The student said, Russian, of course. Oh, yes, of course. Excellent, the teacher said. And how do you know they were Russian? The student said, because they had no clothes to wear, no roof over their head, one apple between the 2 of them, and they called it paradise. Yes, that is communism. But Acts chapter 4 is not describing communism. The selling of the property in Acts chapter 4 was voluntary. Communism is compulsory. The money that was given only to those that were in need, not divided equally among everybody, but communism is sharing the wealth equally with everyone. And so here are all of these Christian people, not communists, but Christian people selling their land and bringing the money to the apostles. And along comes a couple, Ananias and Sapphira, chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now, it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." She said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Then immediately she fell down dead at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Now, I must confess, in the past, I have felt sort of sorry for Ananias and Sapphira. I mean, after all, here's a nice man and his wife who didn't have to sell anything, but they did. Who didn't have to bring any of the money after they sold their land, but they did. And they were struck down dead because they fibbed a little bit about how much they got for their land. And I have to confess, that seems pretty tough. Now, question number one, what was the problem? Was the problem covetousness? No. The fact that this couple gave even some of their money when it wasn't required shows that they weren't covetous. Question number two, was the problem seeking the praise of men? No. That's a very popular point of view, but there's something more serious going on. So then, question number three, what was the problem? Look at verse 4. "You have not lied to men, but to God." The problem was lying, not covetousness. And they lied about how much they sold the land for. I have another confession to make. I still feel sorry for this couple, or I have. How many other people probably told lies in those days, but they weren't zapped? Isn't God kind of showing some partiality here? Well, there's something very different about Ananias and Sapphira lying. They're actually committing a sin which cannot be committed today. Look at verses 3 and 4 again. Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You've not lied to men, but to God." Now think about this. When they told their lie, they were lying to the Holy Spirit. When they lied to the Spirit, they were lying to God because the Holy Spirit is God. Now question, how did they lie to the Holy Spirit? Well, they lied to the Spirit by lying to a Spirit-led apostle. And that's why I say this sin cannot be committed today, because there are no Spirit-led apostles on the earth today being led directly by the Spirit. In Acts 5 verse 2, it says, "He kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it." Verse 9, "They agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord." According to these two verses, the husband and wife were conspiring together to test the Spirit of the Lord. When two people agree together beforehand to commit a crime, that's a conspiracy. They're conspiring to test whether or not the Spirit of the Lord was working in the apostles. Now, question, what will happen if this man and wife team could actually prove that the apostles were not inspired directly by the Holy Spirit? What if they succeeded in convincing the church and the people of that time that the apostles were no more Spirit-led than any other Christian? Would that not damage the apostles' ability to bind and loose the laws in the Lord's church? In Acts chapter 16, verse 19, Jesus said to Peter, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on the earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." But if Ananias and Sapphira could prove Peter is not Spirit-led, he's not inspired any more than any other Christian, then it would cause everyone to doubt whether the apostles really did have the right to bind or loose laws in the Lord's church. This reminds me of what happened in the days of Moses. In Numbers chapter 16, verses 2 and 3, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" These men were rebels. They were tired of Moses being the leader. They wanted to have equal authority with Moses. And they began to cast doubts in the minds of the people about Moses' authority. Question, what was the result of this rebellion? Well, Numbers 16, verse 31, the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up. God could not tolerate someone casting doubt about Moses' inspiration. If Moses was not inspired, if he was not spirit-led, then nothing he said was binding. Well, the same thing's happening in Acts 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. This man and wife have conspired to test whether the Spirit of God is really guiding Peter and the other apostles. And they cooked up this plan. They would sell some land for money. They would bring only part of the money and pretend that it was all the money. If the apostles were spirit-led, like they claim to be, then they will know that not all the money was brought, and Ananias and Sapphira would then have to admit, okay, you win, you caught us, okay, you're inspired, we lose. But if the apostles are fooled, then it would prove to everyone they're not spirit-led, they're not being guided directly by the Holy Spirit. Christians then wouldn't have to do everything the apostles say. Oh, that was a good plan, Ananias and Sapphira thought, but it had a flaw. You see, Ananias and Sapphira weren't counting on the death penalty. Because this plan had the potential of undermining the authority and leadership of the apostles, God had to act in a decisive way. And that's why they were zapped. Now I don't feel so sorry for this man and woman after I realize what they're trying to do. They are striking at the very foundation of the church. In Ephesians 2 and verse 20, the church has been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In Acts 5, God showed in a decisive way the apostles were being led directly by the Holy Spirit. Ananias and Sapphira's plan didn't work. The entire church learned a lesson about the inspiration of those apostles. Notice what happened as a result in Acts 5, verse 11 through 13. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. Notice what verse 13 says, none of the rest dared join them. What does that mean? People, are they afraid to be around the apostles, afraid to even talk to them or ask them questions? Oh, no. It means no one else dared, like Ananias and Sapphira, to join the ranks of the apostles or to test whether the apostles were truly inspired by the Spirit. On this day, the church had its respect for the apostles renewed. In Acts 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Why? Why did the church continue in the teachings of the apostles? Because the church recognized the apostles were special. They were guided directly by the Holy Spirit like no other Christians were. They were inspired. Notice verse 14, and the believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. People weren't frightened off because of what happened to this man and his wife. People now flock to the church in mass numbers. Why? Because everyone knows beyond all doubt that the apostles truly have the words of eternal life. And people wanted to know, what does God want me to do? This story has implications regarding men today who claim to be apostles but are not. They lack the proper credentials. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, to the church at Ephesus, Jesus said, I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Listen, when false apostles are exposed, the Lord praises the ones who expose them. But when real apostles are tested, the Lord destroyed the ones who were testing them. This is serious business. It's a life or death matter. Something interesting happened on September 27, 2001. I shook hands with a man in Independence, Missouri, who claimed to be an apostle of the Lord. Now, I didn't tell a lie to this man. I would never recommend that you lie to anyone, even for an experiment, because lying is wrong. But I know this much. If someone ever does lie to this Mormon apostle, this so-called apostle will not know he's being lied to. And no one is going to be struck dead by God right then and right there because they did lie to that apostle. Now, the reason is because there is no living, inspired apostle today who is directly led by the Holy Spirit. Since the apostles were the Lord's official spokesman, everything we do must be authorized either by the Lord himself or by one of these apostles. If the apostles loosed on earth instrumental music, then let's have instrumental music. That's great. I'd vote for drums and guitar. If church yard sales were loosed on the earth, then let's have church yard sales. If the apostles loosed that, if they loosed women's retreats with women's speakers, then let's have it. If they loosed a meeting in motel rooms for worship as we travel and there's no congregation to assemble with when we're on vacation, let's just meet in our motel room. If the apostles loosed that, if they loosed individual communion cups for the church to use if they want, then let's have individual cups. I'm tired of drinking after people and risking my life with germs drinking after everybody else. If the Holy Spirit loosed Christians wearing shorts, then let's loose it. Let's put on our shorts. I'd like to get a suntan on my handsome white legs. If the Holy Spirit loosed Christians wearing tight, form-fitting clothes, then by all means, let's go for it. I'm tired of hiding my highly sculptured, muscle-bound body just for my own view. I'd like to kind of show that off with some tight, form-fitting clothes. And if the Holy Spirit loosed lottery and gambling, then let's go for it. I'd like to take a chance on winning the state lottery. But if the apostles did not loose these things, if there is no apostolic authority for any of these items, then we better leave them alone because they're not authorized. And everything we do must be authorized either by the Lord or one of his official spokesmen. Colossians 3, verse 17. Let's be like the church in the days that Ananias and Sapphira, when they lived and when they died. The Bible says in Acts 5 and verse 11, great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. May we respect the teachings of those inspired men who bound on the earth things that were already bound in heaven and who loosed on the earth things that were already loosed up in heaven. May we, like the early church, continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2 verse 42. For these men were the foundation of the church, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2, verse 20. In conclusion, may this short study give us renewed respect for the apostles and the place that they occupy in the Lord's church. The Catholic Church teaches the church of the Lord was built upon Peter, but that's not entirely accurate. In Ephesians 2, verse 20, the church was built upon the foundation of the apostles, plural, and prophets, plural, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Peter is a part of the foundation, but he's not the only apostle upon which the church is built. All of the apostles were spirit-led. All of them delivered the New Testament laws to the world, but Jesus is the chief cornerstone. We must, as the early church, continue in the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2, verse 42, because they spoke on behalf of the Lord himself. This explains why we cannot deviate in the slightest from the pattern delivered by the apostles to the church.